Welcome to the Your Courageous Life podcast, where we discuss psychology and tools to help you create better habits, cultivate discipline, and live with courage, aka grit and emotional resilience. I'm your host, Kate Swoboda. Learn more about my books and get additional resources at yourcourageouslife.com. And now, here's today's episode. Hey, hey, party people. I am recording this around the time of the new year turning over, but today's topic is how to up-level your life. And I really think that what I'll talk about today is helpful for anyone who knows that they are either in need of some serious change in their life, something's not working, life doesn't feel great, you know that there's something you need to be doing differently, and you're feeling kind of tired of your own excuses, or you're just at a transition, a turning point in the middle of a big transition of some kind. So in other words, you're ready to take some kind of action. You want to up-level your life. You don't have all the pieces in place. So there can be this frustrating feeling at those times of not knowing quite where to start. So today, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about where you can start. I'm going to go over some specific tools that I've used with my one-on-one coaching clients and certainly that I apply in my own life. The results I've seen using these tools in my own life include finding the courage to say my true yes and true no. I should say practicing the courage. I don't really think courage is found so much as I think it's practiced. So practicing the courage to say my true yes and true no without people pleasing and letting that be okay if someone is upset. Creating hours and hours of more time in my week. Creating positive habits like daily meditation or an exercise routine that I can actually stick to. And personally, I think most impressive of all and hardest of all, pulling myself out of the worst of a depressive episode. And by the way, having made that last statement about pulling myself out of a depressive episode, I want to be clear that I'm never in any of my work. And I know I've said this other places, but I just want to make sure I repeat that never in any of my work am I saying that anything I share is intended as a substitute for getting support from a qualified mental health professional. That's a full stop for me. So get help. Do not try to do it solely on your own. All right, so let's get into it. Up-leveling your life. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting, kind of intimidating. So the first thing I'll touch on today is something that I personally do at least once a year. I think it's helpful for everyone to do it at least once a year. And that is something that I call a life audit. Audit sometimes has a negative connotation. People think of like getting audited by the IRS, but it's not that scary of a term. An audit is just an official examination of things. I have also heard people call this a life assessment, taking a state of the union on your life, taking your inventory, all kinds of names for this. And there are a lot of ways to do this. I'm going to talk about what works well for me, but I just want to throw out there that just because one thing works well for me, of course, does not mean you have to do it. You could make a list of the biggest dreams you have and then a list of the things you know you're currently not doing that you need to be doing to realize those dreams. That's one way of doing a life audit, because through that process, you would see where you're wanting to go and what the state of things is right now and what the gap is between those things, those two places. You could ask three trusted friends who you know are going to tell you the real truth, but in a kind way. What are the things I'm doing that have me getting in my own way? Fabulous exercise. There's an exercise that I have led my life coaching clients through before called the Wheel of Life. And you can actually look that up online and find, you know, visuals to download. I think it's really helpful as a visual exercise. And I have certainly done that before. It was my go-to for a really long time. Lately, however, my personal favorite way to conduct a life audit is to look at a time audit. So for a week or so, record my daily activities, noting what I'm filling my time with. Then after a week, look at how I spent my time. Did I spend my time on the things that lift me up the most or that contribute to some larger goal that I have for my life? Or did I spend my time on junk? And to me, junk is categorized as anything that when you look back on it, you aren't going to feel your life was enriched for having done it. And it is contextual, like so many things in life. Well, like everything in life, it is contextual. So for example, what I mean by it is contextual, if I sit and scroll TikTok for an hour for no reason, I'm going to go ahead and call it. That's junk time. Unless I have had one of those back-to-back days with a lot of meetings, a ton going on, and I just need like a mental reset watching those silly pet compilations on TikTok that are going to make me laugh. And I love those, by the way, in case you're wondering, like, is there anything better than cats afraid of cucumbers? You tell me. So scrolling for no purpose, junk time. Scrolling to give myself a mental break and laugh when I know I'm doing it consciously. There's a time limit. It's not going to become, you know, half hour that becomes 3 hours. You know, as long as I'm intentional and I'm intentional about giving myself a mental break, I'm intentional about the fact that I'm seeking something that might change my state and make me laugh, not junk time. So the big takeaway here is that intent matters. So as you're thinking about this audit of your life, intentionality matters. And where you place your attention matters. When you audit your life, regardless of how you choose to do that audit, you are essentially deciding to look at your life with intentionality and to see clearly what has been capturing your attention and what you want to change about that. One of the things that I emphasize in my book, 100% Fully Alive, which you can find by going to yourcourageouslife.com, is that a fully alive life does not happen by accident. And it is really easy to get carried away on the tide of life and realize, like, just look around one day and go, oh my God, I'm going wherever everyone else pushes me, where my family or my boss or the tasks are taking me. And it's easy to get into that space without being intentional about the life you are trying to create. But I'm going to say it one more time. A fully alive life does not happen by accident. It is a choice. It is a lot of choices all stacked in a row like dominoes. It does not happen by accident. So up-leveling your life, that time audit helps you to get intentional, helps you to see the state of things as they are and how there may be a gap between how they are and where you'd like your life to be. It brings in that intentionality and it really puts you in that space of going, okay, yeah, this life that, like, hey, we all have an expiration date. We don't know when it's coming. I want to live an intentional, fully alive life. It's not going to happen by accident. Let me make sure that I'm conscious and aware. And that starts with, to me, that life audit and really being aware. And that's the tool. So however you decide to do it, do it. Don't delay. And then the next place to go, if you want to up-level your life, is to take control of your time. Now, let's say you've done this life audit, and because you did this life audit, you look at what you want for your life versus what's actually happening in your life, and you see a little more clearly where the disconnect is. It can be anything. You want to be in shape, but you never exercise. You say you want to write a book or create something, but you spend your evenings watching the stuff other people created on your TV. You want to have friends, but you never join clubs or activities where you could meet people, and your head is in your phone every single time you're waiting in line at the grocery store, standing around to pick up your kids, or in any other environment where maybe you could strike up a conversation with someone. So that is the purpose of the life audit, to see those gaps. But now, how do you want to spend your time? Because action will be required. This doesn't just apply to the doing of the things. It also can apply to how you think about things, how you think about your life, and how much time you spend thinking about certain things in certain ways in your life can also be the barrier that keeps you from where you want to go, where you are now, and where you want to go. So if you say you want to feel more positive, for instance, but you spend your time thinking about how so-and-so is a lame friend, your job sucks, nothing you try ever works out, then that's time and energy that you're quite simply just burning. And I say that with empathy. It's really easy. I've been there too. It is really easy to look around at the world and go, this place is a dumpster fire. What is the point? Especially if you're going through a hard time, especially if you're dealing with a biochemical issue such as depression, especially if you have been betrayed, you have been hurt, you worked for a company and put your all into things, and then you keep getting passed over for the promotion or the, these are hard things. I am not downplaying that. But we are talking about up-leveling your life right now. And how you spend your time is how you spend your life. I'll say that more than once at some point. So how you spend your time, what you spend your time thinking about can become what you spend your life on. You can take control of your time from two different angles. You can ask yourself, what do I currently spend my time on that isn't really benefiting me? You can also look at it from the angle of, what do I need to spend my time on so that I can get the benefit? So I'll go back to this loneliness piece again, because a lot of people are lonely. And so, for instance, if you are lonely and really want to meet great people and forge better connections, the question could be, what do you currently spend your time on that isn't conducive to that? What are you currently spending your time on that isn't benefiting you in terms of forging those connections? Really sit with this question. Because the first thing that's going to come up for a lot of people is probably going to be, I don't have time. I feel like I don't have time. How do I meet people? I don't have time. But here's the thing. Even the person who has a really busy schedule can find 5 minutes, and sometimes that's all it takes. These little phones that we carry around all over the place, just getting off of your phone while you wait in the checkout line at the grocery store or Starbucks, or when you're picking your kids up after school, having a 5-minute conversation while waiting around with the people around you could be where you spark a conversation with someone that leads to a lifelong friendship. That happens. It happens all the time. The question, what do I currently spend my time on that isn't really benefiting me in this instance, would be answered by, well, all right, you know, like kind of always on my phone when I'm standing around all those other parents waiting for their kids to come out after school. And that doesn't really benefit me if I want to try to make new friends. And the question, what do I need to spend my time on so that I can get the benefit, could be answered by, I need to smile, say hello to those other parents, ask them some kind of question, any question, even something as banal as, ah, what grade is your kiddo in? Just to try to create some kind of connection. And even if that connection doesn't become a lifelong friendship, I really do believe we're all better off when we get the little hits, the little doses, you know? So again, the saying is that how you spend your time is how you spend your life. And so intentionality comes back into the picture here. An up-leveled life is an intentional life. Your 100% fully alive life is not going to happen by accident. It is going to happen because you make choices. So here's the next tool you can use to up-level your life. It's a question. What do I need to believe for things to get better? I have a story for you on this one. This question came to me during a rough mental health day. It was one of those days where I was struggling with a problem, and every time I considered a possible solution, I immediately felt, I'll just call it resistance. Basically, it wouldn't work. And my mental headspace was, well, wouldn't work because of this. Or, well, but if I tried that, then there'd be ABC problem that would crop up, and I don't want to deal with that, you know, things like that. Very negative headspace. So let me nerd out with you a little bit on a concept in psychology called cognitive reframing. It comes from cognitive psychology, which is one of the different therapeutic modalities in psychology. In cognitive behavioral psychology, the idea is that there is a connection between our thoughts, our behaviors, and our overall well-being. And if you continually think negative thoughts, which in this I guess, division of psychology would be called cognitive distortions, then you are going to feel negative emotions and are more likely to engage with negative behaviors that lead to negative overall well-being. If, by contrast, you notice that you're thinking negative thoughts and make a deliberate effort to reframe the thought in some way, then you're less likely to go down that negative path. There's even something called a negativity bias, which is when the negative thoughts are habitual enough that you are defaulting to those thoughts without even realizing it. And by the way, notice that in this whole theory of cognitive reframing, noticing negativity bias, noticing cognitive distortions, nobody is saying that you just need to be happy, sparkly, shiny, unicorn glitter thrown into the air all the time. That's one of the things I love about a lot of different theories in psychology is that nobody is saying life isn't hard. Nobody isn't saying that you won't have negative thoughts. Pretty much the idea is, yeah, you're going to. You're not doing anything wrong. You're not lame. You're not sucking compared to the other humans on the planet. Everybody's thinking these things. I think negative thoughts too. The question is, do you notice when you have those negative thoughts and then make a deliberate effort to reframe the thought in some way? So I was having that rough day and I had this realization that some of the ideas I was considering for my particular problem that I was immediately discounting as unworkable were ideas that other people had used successfully. So why wasn't I feeling like they would be workable ideas for me? Why was I automatically discounting them without even having tried them? Now, of course, this is not to say that just because something works for one person, it always automatically works for another person. But that day, for me, I was considering ideas that had actually been proven to be effective for others. And one after the other, I was making the case in my own head for why they wouldn't work for me. And that led me to wonder, what would I have to believe for this to be an effective option for me? Because beliefs absolutely impact behavior and well-being. If I decide right now that there's no point in finishing this podcast episode that I'm recording right now, if I have that belief that there's no point, then I'll stop recording, I'll put it away, and I'll, I don't know, do whatever you do with the rest of your day. If I do think there's value in recording the rest of this podcast episode, obviously my actions flow from that. So belief is powerful. And again, the question was, what would I have to believe for this, those solutions, these options to be effective options for me? I started asking myself what the people that those options did work for must be believing about themselves, about their lives, about the way the world works. Did they have greater belief in themselves than I did? Did they believe, oh, this is doable if I get certain resources in place first? Did they believe or assume something fundamental about the world and how it works that tips the scales in their favor or makes it more likely for them to succeed because they have a tendency or a bias towards some kind of optimism? And yeah, when I thought about it more, that pretty much ended up being it. All of the above, right? So I started asking myself, what would I need to believe for things to get better in all kinds of situations? And so then when something sucks, I try to make it my practice to ask this question. So for instance, I could be stuck at the airport. I actually recently was. I had many hours of delays at the airport recently. And I thought of this question, what would I need to believe for things to get better? And I realized that first I'd need to believe that being at the airport isn't being quote unquote stuck. It's just another moment in life. I would also need to believe that it was an opportunity. Like I could write, I could read a book, I could people watch, I could use the time to meditate, I could make a to-do list. I mean, how many times in our lives do we say, I wish I had more time to read. I wish I had more time to just do nothing. I wish I had time to meditate. Oh, I just need to sit down and make that list. Well, and a delay at the airport might be that time, right? So you can use this question when creating something and those critical voices start telling you that what you just wrote or created or whatever totally sucks. Why bother? Well, try it out. Look at the people who have successfully created what you want to create and ask yourself, What must they have believed? What would I need to believe for things to get better? My guess is that a lot of times it's going to come back to they just believed that it was worth it to keep going and see what happened. All right, so we've talked about time audits. We've talked about taking control of your time and really placing intentionality at the heart of that. And then we've talked about up-leveling your life by asking this question when you feel stuck. What would I need to believe for things to get better? Here's the fourth thing that I'll bring up for ways to up-level your life this year. You absolutely have to get the habits that support your biopsychosocial well-being in place. Biopsychosocial, bio for your biology, that's your biochemistry, your physicality. Psycho, that's your personal psychology. Social, that's your social environment, your friends, your connections, the culture you're growing up in. So the habits that support your biopsychosocial well-being are critical. Those habits need to be the bedrock, the foundation of your life. And when I say that I pulled myself out of a depressive episode, that was kind of ground zero for me. What are the biopsychosocial habits that I need? And generally speaking, in my life experience, I've found that all kinds of crazy shit can be going down. And if I'm making sure I get adequate sleep, exercise, nutrition, that's the bio, I'm aware of the impact of stress on my personal psychology and belief systems, and I'm trying to counteract that with things like tools like cognitive reframing, there's the psychology. If I find ways to be socially connected to the world that are true and meaningful, then I'm going to handle all the crazy shit so much better. You're not going to bubble wrap your life. It's going to happen. Things are going to happen that you don't like that are incredibly stressful. Having those biopsychosocial habits as your bedrock help you. When I wrote my book, 100% Fully Alive, that's really what I was thinking about the most. The fact that when we incorporate habits into our lives that we treat as the foundation of a great life, we can thrive even amid chaos. We can be truly 100% fully alive. And I'm aware that there are a lot of people who feel burned out on their jobs, their responsibilities, all the notifications, the expectations that people have of them, and it feels endless. When I work with my one-on-one clients around burnout, it's a pretty common refrain that all the things going on feel like an endless loop that they're stuck in, and the common wish is that if only those things would just stop, then life would be manageable. And that point that I make in 100% Fully Alive is that you will not bubble wrap your life. There will always be things that happen, always some level of dancing on the edge of chaos. And we tend to assume that the people who are making time for meditation or exercising, who are getting the laundry folded and the grocery shopping done, they must not have full-time jobs or kids. They must have something that makes their life easier. And certainly that's true in some cases, but just speaking from my own experience to give you a snapshot into my own life, I'm a mom and yeah, I have after school activities. I have school to get my kid to and from. My husband helps, yes, but also after school activities to shuttle my kid to, laundry to fold or laundry that sometimes isn't folded, groceries to shop for. My daughter's school is no better than your kid's school about giving advance notice when something is coming up. I've absolutely gotten the sheet on a Wednesday that some project is due on Friday, or I go a few days without checking my email and realize that, oh, signups for parent teacher conferences were announced days ago and now all the good spots are taken. I want to spend quality time with my husband and daughter at the same time that I just want everyone to stop talking and leave me alone. I feel those feelings. I want to clean the bajillion LaCroix cans out of the floor of my car so that they'll stop hitting each other and clinking when I'm driving and making a left or right turn. I work full time. I am writing a novel, and some days I sit down and the writing flows, and other days I sit down and think it's the worst piece of shit that anyone has ever written. It's about a 50-50 split. I am also my elderly father's power of attorney. And let me tell you, he is a delightful human, but he has a special talent for somehow having a sixth sense and calling me during the busiest week possible to tell me that he's convinced that the water company has overcharged him. So he hasn't paid his water bill for months out of protest, and now they're threatening to shut off his water. So he wants me to call the water company and dispute the charges. True story. I can tell more. I have two dogs that I adore, and you know, they're wonderful and I love them. And just so you totally know what a glamorous life I live, I also have a backyard full of poop that has to be picked up regularly. Like, this is life. This is just life. I don't know what it looks like to everybody on social media, but probably what I've just described is not so very different than the life you live day in and day out. And I genuinely believe that it's because I've dialed in my biopsychosocial habits that this life dances just on the other edge of chaos. And when I was struggling more, I had pulled back from a lot of the things that I had previously been doing. And I had to really have a reckoning with that. And a life audit was one way I did that. I really do think that biopsychosocial habits help you to make life doable. And not even just doable, but honestly and truly made better. Now, maybe you're listening to this, you're going, good idea, but maybe there's also a little bit of a nervousness. Maybe you're wanting some help with this. Maybe you're someone who's thinking, you know, I've tried this before. I've sat down and decided I wanted something in my life to be different. And then I try to change something and then I stick to it for, you know, a few days, a few weeks, and then everything goes back to how it was before. And if that's you, there are two resources that I suggest. One is to reach out to me for one-on-one coaching. Personal coaching is the best way to dramatically accelerate your process, because during a coaching session, we're not only actively strategizing about things you do, but I, as a coach, am listening for the cognitive distortions that are keeping you stuck, the belief systems that you may be unconsciously stuck in without realizing it. I think if you want aha moments, coaching is the jam. Every coach is different, though, by the way. My personal approach is rooted in this biopsychosocial model that I'm talking about, and I'm really the best fit for a client who really wants to be nudged towards taking action and seeing some kind of transformation in their mindset or their habits and their actions. Another resource is the book I've been mentioning, my book, to check out 100% Fully Alive. You can head over to yourcourageouslife.com, check out the books section, and you will see the link to order your copy of 100% Fully Alive. And then, of course, there's nothing quite like deciding to take action, which means that at any time, you can take a second, grab a sheet of paper, and do any of the things I've been talking about throughout this episode. Do that life audit, look at how you spend your time, see what the gap is, see where you need to get intentional, see where creating the life you want is really a series of choices. It's not going to happen by accident. Start asking yourself, what would I have to believe for things to get better? And try adopting those beliefs. Try on those cognitive reframes. And really go ahead and make sure that you are creating those habits from that place, from there, that support your biopsychosocial well-being. That is a hard word, isn't it? It can be. Sometimes it just rolls right off the tongue. Other times, not so much. But essentially, creating those habits that are the foundation of a well-lived life. And those are the things that really, really and truly foundation support the rest of your life. A house that does not have a strong foundation will fall. So you and your life need and deserve a strong foundation as well. All right, that's today's episode of the Your Courageous Life podcast. Thank you for listening. To dive in deeper and continue the work, head on over to yourcourageouslife.com. See you there.